Welcome to Music History Monday for March 9th, 2020. I'm Bob Greenberg, and the title for today's podcast is Unspeakable Catastrophe and Unqualified Triumph. We mark the first performance on March 9th, 1842, 178 years ago today, of Giuseppe Verdi's third opera and first operatic masterwork, Nabucco, at the Teatro alla Scala in Milan. Giuseppe Fortunino Francesco Verdi, 1813-1901, was born on either the 9th or 10th of October, 1813, in the north-central Italian village of La Roncola, in the Duchy of Parma. At the time, the Duchy of Parma was part of Napoleon's First French Empire, and as such, Verdi's birth name was recorded in French as Joseph Fortunin François. Thus, this great Italian patriot was born, much to his later annoyance, as a citizen of France. Verdi's family moved to nearby Busseto when he was still a child, and it was there in Busseto that Verdi acquired the padrone, the patron, who would shape his life, a wealthy merchant named Antonio Barezzi. Barezzi paid for Verdi's musical education, arranged for Verdi's first full-time music position as Busseto's town music master, and sponsored Verdi's first public performance. But even more, Antonio Barezzi gave Verdi the greatest gift any father can give, and that was the hand of his daughter, Margarita. The two were married on May 4th, 1836. Margarita, in turn, quickly gave Verdi two children, a girl, Virginia Maria Luigia, born in March of 1837, and a boy, Icilio Romano, born in July of 1838. Life was not kind to Giuseppe and Margarita Verdi. Both children died, Virginia of some unknown malady at the age of 16 months, and Icilio of bronchial pneumonia at the age of 17 months. Verdi later wrote that, quote, "The poor little boy, languishing, died in the arms of his utterly desolate mother," unquote. Buried in grief and debt, Verdi and Margarita gamely struggled on. On November 17, 1839, just a few weeks after his son Icilio's death, Verdi's first opera, Oberto, received its premiere at the Teatro alla Scala in Milan, then as now the most prestigious opera theater in all of Italy. The reviews of Oberto ranged from so-so to very good. However, the most important review didn't appear in the papers. It was the evaluation of Oberto made by La Scala director Bartolomeo Morelli. So impressed was he that the morning after the premiere, he made Verdi an offer no one could refuse. Verdi remembered Morelli's offer as being, quote, "lavish" at that time. "He offered me a contract for three operas to be written at eight-month intervals, to be performed at either La Scala or in Vienna, where he was also the impresario. In return, he would pay me 4,000 Austrian lire per opera and split the profit from the sale of the scores half and half with me," unquote. So there you have it. By late November 1839, Verdi had an opera on the boards, a contract, and a publisher. Giuseppe and Margarita, each 26 years old, assumed that the bad times were behind them. And who could blame them if they thought so? Verdi had a three-opera contract. They could pay off their debts. And though they grieved for their children, they were still young and assumed they would have more. I wish I could tell you that they were right, but sadly, I cannot. Verdi began work on his next opera, the first of the three operas contracted by Morelli, a comedy entitled Un Giorno di Regno, King for a Day. A few months later, in June of 1840, Margarita suddenly became ill. While the illness was diagnosed as rheumatic fever, it was probably encephalitis. She died there in Milan on June 18, 1840. Verdi was despondent. Quote, "A third coffin went out of my house. I was alone, alone. In the space of 22 months, three loved ones had disappeared forever. I no longer had a family, and in the midst of this terrible anguish, I was compelled to write and finish a comic opera." Unquote. Verdi returned to Busseto and collapsed. According to Verdi's friend, Giuseppe de Malde, quote, "His profound sorrow led him to give up everything completely and forever. He thought of nothing but hiding himself in some dark corner and living out his miserable existence." Unquote. The magnitude of Verdi's grief and rage were such that his friends and family were concerned for his sanity. For his part, Verdi wrote Morelli to tell him that he would not be returning to Milan and that he would not finish the opera. But the opera had been announced and the rehearsals scheduled, and Morelli, may he be blessed forever, dug in his heels and refused to let Verdi out of his contract. A broken man, the 27-year-old Verdi dragged himself back to Milan, went back to the little apartment he and Margarita had so recently shared, and finished composing this comic opera in a little under 6 weeks. Un Giorno di Regno, King for a Day, was premiered on September 5th, 1840, and it was a flop. Some of the numbers were applauded, but others were whistled at and booed. It was, for Verdi, an excruciating, humiliating evening, one he never, ever forgot. 20 years later, still stinging with hurt, Verdi wrote, quote, "The audience abused the opera of a poor, sick young man, harassed by the pressure of the schedule and heartsick and torn by horrible misfortune. Oh, if the audience had, I do not say applauded, but had borne that opera in silence, I would not have had the words to thank them. Today, I accept the public. I accept its whistles on the condition that I am not asked to give back anything in exchange for its applause." Unquote. The morning after the premiere of Un Giorno di Regno, Morelli called Verdi into his office. Verdi later said he expected to receive a full blast dressing down, but Morelli, bless him once again, encouraged Verdi to take heart. The remaining performances of Un Giorno were canceled, and in their place, Morelli remounted Verdi's first opera, Oberto, which received an additional 17 performances, performances that were cheered by the very same Milanese audiences that had just hissed Un Giorno. Nabucco. As far as Verdi was concerned, the audience could take those cheers and put them where the sun didn't shine. In December of 1840, he announced he was through with music. Finito. A day or two later, Verdi ran into Bartolomeo Morelli on the street there in Milan. If we are to believe Verdi's account of the story, and there's no reason why we shouldn't, then their accidental meeting was one of the most serendipitous moments in the history of music, Verdi recalled. Large snowflakes were falling, and Morelli, taking me by the arm, invited me to come with him to the director's office at La Scala. As we walked along, he told me that he was in a terrible fix because of a new opera he had to present. He had given the assignment to the composer Otto Nicolai, who was unhappy with the libretto. "Imagine," Morelli said, "a libretto by Tomistocles Solera. Stupendous, magnificent, extraordinary. effective dramatic situations, grand, beautiful lines, but that crank of a composer refuses to look at it, saying that it is an impossible libretto. We reached the theater. Morelli took a manuscript in his hand and exclaimed, "See, here it is, Solera's libretto. Such a beautiful plot. Imagine turning it down. Take it. Read it." "What the devil do you want me to do with it? No, no, I have no desire to read libretti." "Well, it's not going to bite you," Morelli said. "Read it, and then bring it back to me." And he handed me a huge sheaf of papers written in big letters, the kind they used then. I rolled it up, and saying goodbye to Morelli, I went off to my house. I went to my place, and with an almost violent gesture, I threw the manuscript on the table and stood straight in front of it. The bundle of pages, falling on the table, opened by itself. Without knowing why, I stared at the page before me and saw the line, "Va pensiero sull'ali dorate, fly, thought, on golden wings," unquote. As it would turn out, Verdi's choral setting of Va pensiero became the unofficial anthem of the Risorgimento, the 19th century Italian revolt against foreign occupation and oppression. When performed in the opera, the chorus is sung by the Israelites who are being held captive in Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar, in Italian, King Nabucco. When the opera was first performed at La Scala, and then across Italy, it didn't take long for audiences to decide that the Israelites' dream of freedom and homeland was their dream of freedom and homeland as well. Verdi's chorus almost immediately achieved the status of a national hymn, and to this day, it will be sung by Italians at any time, in any place. Back, please, to Verdi's recollection of his rebirth. Quote, "I threw the manuscript on the table, the bundle of pages falling on the table, opened by itself. I stared at the page before me and saw the line, Va pensiero sull'ali dorate. I ran through the lines that follow and got a tremendous impression from them. I read one section, I read another, then, firm in my decision not to compose again, I forced myself to close the manuscript and go to bed. But yes, Nabucco was racing through my head. I could not sleep. I got up and read the libretto, not once, not twice, but three times, so that in the morning I knew Solera's whole libretto from memory. In spite of all of that, I was still resolved never to compose again. The next day I went back to the theater and gave the manuscript back to Morelli. Beautiful, huh? He said to me. Very beautiful. All right then, set it to music. Not a chance. I would not even dream of it. I don't want anything to do with it. Morelli chanted, set it to music. Set it to music. And saying this, Morelli took the libretto, stuck it in the pocket of my overcoat, took me by the shoulders, and with a big shove, pushed me out of his office. Not just that, he closed the door and locked it. What was I to do? I went back home with Nabucco in my pocket. One day, one line. One day, another. Now one note, then a phrase. Little by little, the opera was composed. Verdi finished Nabucco in 10 months, in early October of 1841. Morelli scheduled its premiere for March 9th, 1842, at the tail end of Milan's carnival season. The cast featured the soprano Giuseppina Strapponi, who in time would become Verdi's second wife. A measly 12 days were scheduled for the rehearsals, hardly adequate for a new work of such monumental proportions. But a remarkable event took place during the rehearsals, and Verdi later claimed that it was at that moment he knew his luck had changed. Verdi, quote, "The common people have always been my best friends from the very beginning. It was a handful of carpenters who gave me my first real assurance of success. It was during a rehearsal The performers were singing as badly as they knew how, and the orchestra seemed bent only on drowning out the noise of the workmen who were making alterations to the building. Presently, the chorus began to sing, as carelessly as before, Va Pensiero. But before they had gotten through half a dozen bars, the theater was as still as a church. The carpenters had stopped working, one by one, and there they were, sitting about on the ladders and scaffolding, listening. When the number was finished, they broke out in the noisiest applause I have ever heard, crying, Bravo! Bravo! Viva il maestro! And beating on the woodwork with their tools. Then I knew what the future had in store for me. Unquote. When Verdi took his place in the pit to conduct the premiere of Nabucco on March 9, 1842, the cellist Vincenzo Marigi said to him, quote, Maestrino! It's a term of endearment, meaning literally, little maestro. Maestrino! I wish I were in your place this evening, unquote. And well he might have wished, because Nabucco was a triumph. Verdi was called repeatedly to the stage by the ecstatic audience. The reviews were uniformly rapturous. Verdi's father called it a miracle. Verdi went to bed that night and woke up famous. What did that opening night audience see and hear that so inspired them? They heard music that was lyric, memorable, magnificent, and magnificently wrought. Music that spoke, as Beethoven would have said, from heart to heart. They saw a powerful, serious opera, or opera seria, in which the story was a thinly veiled allegory for the state of the Italian nation itself, a proud and ancient people, divided and largely controlled by oppressive foreigners longing to be free. Nabucco spoke directly to the patriotic heart of the Italian people. Nabucco immediately earned a place in the operatic repertoire where it has remained to this day. It received an incredible 75 performances at La Scala alone during the year of its premiere, not counting other performances that took place across Italy. Of Nabucco, Verdi later wrote, quote, With this opera, you can truly say that my artistic career began, unquote. It was a career that would completely dominate Italian opera for the next 59 years. For lots more on Verdi and Nabucco, I would direct your attention to my teaching company Great Courses Survey, The Operas of Verdi, which can be examined and downloaded at robertgreenbergmusic.com. Thank you.